Stay right here. Is that picking up loud enough? All right. Thank you, Savannah. That was wonderful. Ephesians chapter number 6. I want to talk to you about prayer tonight for a little bit. What kind of prayer life do you have? How many think they got a good prayer life? It's not a trick question. I'm just asking that. You think you got a good prayer life? How many think a mediocre prayer life? How many think that their prayer life is probably weak? Well, we're going to talk about prayer because prayer is one of the biggest things that control our spiritual life. I think sometimes we work on a lot of stuff trying to make ourselves more spiritual, and really there's some things that are very simple that makes us more spiritual. I don't want to turn this into a marriage counseling class, but a lot of people work on things in their marriage, trying to make their marriage better. But one of the number one things that marriages need more than anything else is communication. People worry about, well, we need to have a date night, and he doesn't do anything for me anymore, and all these kind of things that we talk about in marriage. But realistically, communication is the number one downfall in most marriages. And so if you're not communicating as a couple, there will be trouble in that marriage. So why do you think if you're not communicating with your God? See, God looks at our relationship with Him as a love relationship. And with us in Jesus Christ as a husband-wife, a bride-groom. As a church, we are the bride of Christ, and Jesus is the groom. And so we can use that marriage illustration to work on our spiritual life. And the Bible even refers to things such as spiritual adultery. How many think adultery, period, is wrong? Is there any reason why adultery would be good? Not a trick question. Never. It's never good. But people do that all the time spiritually with God. So how could you commit spiritual adultery, Scott? Help us out. This bunch up here are, you can't see what I see, but they're just out of it. You guys look alive back there in the back. I'm glad Cain and Taylor come in. They brought that place to life back there. So tell me what you think. How could you do spiritual adultery? How can you commit spiritual adultery?
Well, not spending time with
God. All right.
Not reading His Word.
Okay.
Not praying to Him.
All right. If I'm not showing my attention to God, would you all agree with this statement? If my attention's not on my wife, my attention is somewhere. My attention's just not out in outer space, right? But my attention is somewhere. If it's not with her, it's somewhere. It could be with a child. It could be at work. But we all put our attention somewhere. So if my attention spiritually is not toward God, it's where? Somewhere else. Or on something else. Okay? So let's look about how we can make our prayer life better. We're going to talk about just one subject tonight. Praying in the Spirit. That does not sound like a Baptistic sermon, does it? We're going to learn about how to pray in the Spirit tonight. Y'all don't look excited about that. Anytime we can talk about Spirit or Holy Ghost in a Baptist church, I get excited. Because that's like a danger word for us, you know. Next thing you know, somebody's going to get a hand up. Or two. Somebody may amen. Somebody might just lose it and say hallelujah if we get too crazy. See, I got a hand. Lim's got two hands up in the back there. And I heard a hallelujah from the attic. I don't know. People on the internet just got scared. I thought we was watching a Baptist church. See, Baptist church is supposed to be kind of like a funeral. Supposed to be similar. You know, no smiling, solemn. That's supposed to be Baptist. I don't read that in the Scripture where that's how God's church is supposed to be. He said, you're a lively hope. I'm going to give you a lively hope. I'm going to give you abundant life. All that is something more exciting than a funeral to me, right? So without making trouble, let's go to the Scripture because I'm safe there. Verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 6. I want to read you one verse and let's talk about one verse. He says, praying always with all what? Prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance in supplications for what? So let's talk about something. First of all, what does he mean by praying in the Spirit? Let me change a word for you that will help, okay? Where the word in is, put the word W-I-T-H. That is not changing Scripture. That's just kind of explaining the word. When we pray in the Spirit, we are praying with the lead or with the assistance of the Holy Spirit. Whether you understand what I'm saying tonight or not, I almost walked away. You got to understand this. The Spirit is the strongest thing you have in your prayer life. It's going to prompt you what to pray for. It's going to prompt you how to pray. You need the Spirit. So when He says, I want you to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, I want you to understand He's saying with the Spirit. Now I'm going to ask you the second word. What is supplication? Asking, what did you say, Brian?
Request.
A good example in the dictionary was watching. Watching. Why do I need to pray with watching? Because he uses the word watching again in a minute, but they're kind of in two different ways. What does he mean by that? What's the difference? Alright. Let me explain what I mean by watching. You're praying on behalf of God the Spirit, God the Father, and God the Son. You're praying on behalf of the Trinity. So Brian, when you go to God in prayer, you're actually going to God about something that God wants you to go about to Him with something. Does that make sense? That sounded confusing coming out of my mouth. God wants you to pray on behalf of something that He wants you to pray for. To who? To Him. That seems confusing. But it's really not. Because our whole prayer life is going to be surrounded by what the Spirit is leading me to pray for. And I'm going to be honest with you. I would say 90% of us on an average day of prayer don't pray on how God prompts us to pray. We kind of already know how we're going to pray when we sit down to eat, pray, or go to bed, pray, or get up to pray. But there's a different kind of prayer I'm trying to teach you tonight that's really important. This is the prompting of the Spirit prayer. This is when God touches you about something and this something you don't even know why. See, with prayer, Brian, I don't even have to know why I'm praying for that. Now that's going to be the craziest thing I say to you tonight. Because you think that everything you pray for, you should know what you're praying for and why you're praying for it. And I'm telling you tonight, when you pray in the Spirit, it's really not about what you're praying for yourself, as much as it's what God wants you to be praying for. Have I lost everybody? I know it's windy, and sometimes I overkill sometimes. So let me go with this, okay? Let me keep going. What does he mean by watch? What am I watching for? If I know I'm praying through the Spirit, I'm praying on behalf of God, what am I watching for? Anybody know what 1 Peter 5:8 says? Anybody? Be. Nobody yet? Sober. Go, Greg. Go on. You said it. Be sober. Be. Because your adversary, the devil, what? Right, you're walking back. So, what does that scripture tell you?
Satan can overtake us at any time.
Okay. That's perfect. That's exactly what I want. So, Tex, when you're walking across the prairie when you're living in Colorado, and you got to go to that water tank over there, and it's August. I'm giving you a time frame, okay? It's August. It's at least 90 degrees or so. And you're walking over to check the water tank over there, and the grass is about this high. And you're watching, you're going to make sure the cow's got water in that water tank. What do you do? And this tells what you do. What are you watching for? Like grasshoppers? I mean, like you're going to get attacked by a grasshopper? What are you watching for? And actually, he's seen a guy this year get bit, or 2014, he's seen a guy get bit with a rattler. Right? So, every time Tex is out there walking to that water tank over there that may just be from here to the door, what do you do? What do you do when you jump out of the truck and you pull up in the field? But tell us why you do that. That's a little overkill, isn't it? You don't think so? Why? Because you could get bit. Now, let me put this in a practical way to you about the devil. Most of you never are looking for the devil. You're never looking for him. You just get excited when you see him. Joe, I need somebody to preach to. Can I preach to you for a minute? Am I right? We don't like look. We're not like looking for the devil anywhere. But when we see the devil, we just kind of get a little excited about that, right? Now, how many times did you step out of a truck that you didn't see a snake? Let me just rephrase my question. Did you ever step out of a truck and see a snake? All right, perfect. So I think you shouldn't have to worry about it. Okay. You're a good guy to help preach a sermon, Tex. You're doing a great job. Just stay with me, okay? I want you guys to understand something tonight. In our prayer life, who wants to get you off? It's the devil. He wants to derail you. He wants to pull you away. The word I used was distract. He wants to distract your attention. Why? There's two ways I can't pray. I can't pray like really. I'm talking about not praying in public prayer. I'm not really sure about public prayer anyway, Greg. I'm sorry. I'm not real sure about all that. We do it. We go through the motions. I'm not real sure about that. But I'm talking about, Gail, when I really need to get to God. I mean, him and I got to have a talk. You know what I'm talking about? It's usually not right here in front of you all. It's like somewhere else. But I tell you what's got me left. There cannot be a cell phone around. Because almost every time I got my cell phone on with me and I'm having that special prayer because I need to really get God's attention, I will get a text or a phone call or an email. It'll never fail. So I cannot pray when I got that with me. I cannot pray like that when I'm around television or even in my house where people are coming and going, like my kids are all home and all that. That's why the Bible teaches us that we need to have like a prayer closet. There needs to be a place, whether you drive out the road somewhere or you're somewhere that you cannot be distracted. That's what it means to be watching. Because how many times you think you've been prodded to pray, but the devil sneaks in and unprods you to pray? As soon as I get to where I'm going, I'm going to pray about that because they, you know what? Scott, they probably needed the prayer the moment you were prodded. Right there on that spot is probably why you got prodded by God that we didn't talk about this. And it could be on behalf of somebody else. You don't even know why you need to pray for Amanda, but you just felt like you need to pray for Amanda. There'll always be reasons why God just does not want to waste your day. He has a purpose behind it, a motive behind what He wants you to pray for. We're not just talking about pray. We're talking about praying in the Spirit, which I think is how you really reach God for things, okay? Then he said this, watching thereunto with all what? So what is perseverance? Huh? All right. I've probably told you this before, but we'll blame it on low blood going to the brain. Go to Luke 11. I want you to see this. It only appears one time in the whole Bible, okay? It doesn't appear twice. It doesn't appear any other place but this one place in Luke chapter 11. I want you to kind of get an idea of what persevering prayer is. Can I ask you an honest question? How many of you think that you pray in persevering prayer? I got to sometimes. Alright? So let's read this. I got to read verse 5 to kind of get you the whole picture. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because of he is his friend, yet, because of his what? Importunity, only place it appears in the whole Bible. He will arise and give him as much as he needeth. So what is that? What is the prayer of importunity? Alright. Yeah. I got a friend with me. Just picked him up at the airport. There's nothing open. Could you all give us some food so I can feed him tonight? We've done with the bed in here. Come by in the morning for breakfast. We'll feed you then. I told you we're already in bed. We ain't got anything. Everybody's already asleep. My kids are asleep. Don't wake the kids. Importunity. What does that mean? Persistent. In James almost says the same thing. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What's fervent? Persistent. What's importunity? Persistent. Do you have that kind of prayer? I'll be honest with you all tonight. I pray a lot. I pray a lot for people. I pray for situations and circumstances. But you know what? If I don't hear something back pretty quick, I have a tendency to drop that and pray for something different. I'm the only one, Brother Dean. Anybody else ever do that? Everybody like, so what would cause you to be persistent, Greg? What to you would be that prayer of importunity?
Something you're really passionate about.
Alright. Examples? Anybody? Examples?
Salvation of a loved one.
Alright, I got a kid that's lost. Is that a necessary prayer?
Yes.
I'm talking about reach God prayer. Because I realize that if that child dies and he doesn't get saved, that he will not go to heaven. That's a pretty urgent prayer. If you're a parent in here and you got a child that ain't saved, you know what? You got a grandkid that's not saved? You got a grandkid that's getting that questioning part? I'm talking to God. Well, now, I don't think you can push issues. Where do you read any of that at? You know what I should do? I should do this. Go with me back to Luke 11. Let me just read you one more thing where I left off. He says in verse 9, I say unto you, ask and what? Seek and what? What's that next word? And what? For everyone that asketh, and he that seeketh, and to him that knocketh, it what? I'm just telling you guys something. That's the kind of prayer I want to pray. The kind that's going to get answered. It's going to get opened up. Seeking. What does he mean, seeking? I mean, I think that's constantly going after him. About things that I think. So let's change our prayer life a little bit tonight, and let's say this. Maybe some of the things we pray for are not that pertinent to me. Let me take the bulletin home that Lona prints out every week and flips it over on the back and prays over those names. Some of you do that. Somebody gets a prayer chain out. Got one today from Miss Ann. How's the prayer request go? It said, unspoken prayer request, please pray! Exclamation point. I'm assuming, like, not tonight at church, but like right then when I got that. That's what I did. I prayed when Scott sent it to me. I prayed. I don't know about you all. But listen, you think my prayer was going up like her prayer was? But can I tell you what I'm thinking tonight? It should. Because the Spirit, for some reason, was nudging me and saying, you know what? I don't know what's going on at Ann, but something's going on and she's wanting prayer. She's passed it out on the prayer chain, and that exclamation means it's urgent. So I'm just going to pray, whatever it is. I don't need to try to ask the right question so I can get the answer what I'm supposed to be praying for. That wasn't what I'm supposed to be praying for. I was supposed to be praying for Ann. And that's how I pray. I'm trying to learn in my prayer life that to make your things as urgent as my things are. I think that's what real spiritual prayer is. Because I'm telling you, whatever's urgent to me is urgent to God. And whatever's urgent to you is urgent to God. And if His Spirit is nudging me to pray about that, it's urgent. And I need to go after God like that. Does that kind of help a little bit? All right, now I've got one last place. I want you to go to Jude 20 with me. Jude 20. But ye beloved, verse 20, everybody there? How many has not read a book this year? You have not read a book this year. Let me help you. Go home and read 25 verses. And if somebody asks you if you read a book, you can say, I read a book this year. Because this is a book. This is just not like a page in your Bible. This is actually a book. This was a book. Alright? So verse 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on what? Your most holy faith. Praying. Come on, bad to say it. Let it go. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Y'all get that? So what does he mean? Well, let's talk about the most holy faith. What is the most holy faith? It's in God, right. It is. And where does it come from? I know you're going to tell me God, you're right. But it comes in some transportation to you. Actually, a couple ways, actually. According to Romans 10:17, it comes how? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? Word of God. Preacher, I just need more faith. You need to read the Bible more. You're not going to get faith by getting it prayed in. We can't all make a circle tonight and say, we want Greg to have more faith. That's not how it's going to happen. He tells us plainly that the transportation that's going to bring faith into your life is coming from the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how you're going to get more faith. So how do I pray in faith and in the Spirit? It's going to have to be with the Word of God. I'm going to just challenge you somehow, some way, to make the Bible part of your prayer life. It needs to be inclusive. I think we stirred some people up when we had the prayer of Jabez couple of lessons, and a lot of people started praying a little more, and some of you sitting here have actually been praying that prayer of Jabez. I got a little bookmarker that was given to me to pray the prayer of Jabez. I'm really praying that prayer. And I keep it and I play with it all the time, and Shell tries to take it away from me, but it's my play toy, and I read it when I drop her off to run in the store to get something. I pray the prayer of Jabez. I want God to do this in my life. And I'm trying to be persistent with it. But we need that faith, do we not? So I think the Word of God and Jesus. How do I get saved, Doug? My faith in who?
Faith in Jesus.
My faith in Jesus. So there's two transportations about my faith. My salvation faith is through Jesus Christ, right? That's how I get to heaven. It's through Jesus. That's where my faith is. And my faith in just getting through life, Mike, isn't from the Word of God. Church going will never fix it for you. You'll always be a mediocre Christian. You'll always just get by. I don't think I'm looking at people who just want to get by. I think I look at people who want to exceed in life. And so what I'm telling you is, how you do that in your spiritual life is you include the Word of God in your prayer life. And you're praying through Jesus. So there you go, right? Now, I want to put it this way. This was probably a bad illustration, but this is what I thought about and I wrote it down. So how many's ever flown in a plane? How many of you would get in a plane that only had one wing and fly somewhere? How many's ever had a wing seat? How many ever just every once in a while just look at the wing? You've seen it shake and you've seen the water form up and seen a little ice at times. You ever just, while you're sitting there waiting to taxi out, you see those little, every one of those little screws that's holding plates on? Scott, have you ever done that? My brother, you ever done that? It's like, I wonder if they checked that one, you know? How important is that wing? Can we fly with one? So, let me, for sake of just trying to make an illustration I'm trying to make for the whole night, tell you this. How many want your prayers to get to God? Then your prayers have two wings. The Word of God and Jesus Christ. And the way your prayers are going to get to the Father is that way. That is the means of getting your prayers to God. It's the Word of God and Jesus Christ. So how do I pray in the Spirit? So let me give you my last scripture. Go to Romans 8. Romans 8. I have probably, if there's any passage of Scripture that I learned a few years ago that's changed my life in prayer, it's this Scripture. So I've always been a person of Romans 8:28. And honestly, I've read the Scriptures in front of it, but until a couple years ago, I really never paid attention to the 26th and the 27th verse. So I want you to look at it. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. What does that tell you about prayer? I mean, I'm not telling you something, I'm reading you something. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. What are infirmities?
Weaknesses.
Don't just say sicknesses, but weaknesses. So the Spirit wants to help your weaknesses. So what are the things you pray for? Let's just be honest for 30 seconds, throw stuff out at me. What are things you prayed for today? Safety, I heard finances. Family. Illnesses. Was all those things you prayed for, were they going all right now? Or were they things that needed some help? How many of you prayed by raising your hand? Pray for something that needed some help. It wasn't like everything's all good. We need a maintenance here. We need some help here. Alright. So here's what it says. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. What? I know what my weaknesses are. I know I came over the prayer chain. So what does he mean by we know not what we should pray for as we ought? All right, we don't know how to pray for. Anybody else? Perfect. So how are we going to know this, though, Greg? How am I going to know? I mean, am I going to get like a text? And he's going to say, well, I need you to back off that and I need you to put this on the list. How do I know? Well, let's keep reading. Because he maketh intercession for the saints. This is the sweetheart part. Well, I skipped, didn't I? All right, let me go back. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with what? Which cannot be uttered. So explain to me what the groanings are. I say them this way, Carrie. I think they're like nudges. Like, let me just say it this way. Who here has ever just had somebody come to your mind? Did you ever wonder why? Can I tell you exactly why tonight? For no other reason than to pray for them. Now there may be other things that's going to come with that later. But the Spirit, the groanings that the Spirit throws up. See, because of social media and the world in which we live with all this knowledge, we think we have to know what everybody's needs are. But here's what I want you to see that you all don't think about sometimes. Most church people put on a good show. Amen. They walk in. They got a good smile. They got their King James Bible. And how's things going? And they say what? Fine or good? I like the good. Or I like the answer that I get from some of my preacher brothers. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Let me just be perfectly honest with you. Most of you are not fine. Most of you are struggling with things. Because I am. And I know that because I'm a people, and because I'm a people, it gives me the right to say I know that you're struggling too. You're worried about a mom with cancer. You're worried about a dad with cancer. You're worried about some children's marriage. You're worried about how a kid's going to turn out. You're worried about some finances. You're worried about a lot of stuff going on in your life. Am I right? Am I close? Worried about your business. There's a lot of things you worry about. But along the way, you get nudged that Joe just popped in your mind. It's not going to help your anxiety or anything else to bring Joe's troubles in with you. And God knows that. So God says, all I need you to do today is just pray for Joe. The Spirit knows what you need to pray for. And I like what He says in verse 27. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to what? When it all comes down to the nitty gritty, God just wants you to do His will. And everyone, if I passed out a piece of paper and I said, write down the will of God for your life tonight, 99% of you can't put it on paper. Because 99% of you just ain't sure right now what God wants you to do. And I would include the preacher in the 99%. I check every day. God, you know, I'm still trying to make sure. I know where I'm at tonight's Your will. But I don't know what Your will is for Thursday. And I don't know where Your will is for me tomorrow. Y'all with me? But what God says is, I'm through my Spirit, I'm going to make intercession from God the Father and God the Son on their behalf. I'm going to bring it right down to you so you can know what the will of God is. And I've always gave you the illustration when I talk of these verses. It's like God's going to tell you what to pray for. So when you pray for it, He's already got it. Told you about Aaron a long time ago. He was wanting this for Christmas, and I kept showing him a bike, showing him a bike, showing him a bike. Finally, we got on Santa Claus's lap. I know Santa Claus is evil and everything, but this Baptist preacher took him to see Santa Claus, and he sat there, and he told Santa Claus he wanted a bike. The good thing was I already had that bike bought. But he started asking for something else, and I had to change his thinking for a minute. And every time we went in Walmart, I showed him the bike. I actually got it down to impale it one time. But every time he'd go to Walmart, he'd go to that one thing he wanted. But the last couple of times we went to Walmart, he showed his mom the bike. He showed me the bike. He showed other people the bike. He got Josh. He said, Josh, get the bike down. So he got on the man with the white beard and the red suit, and he said, what do you want for Christmas, young man? I want a bike. I want a camouflaged bike. He asked for specifically what I already had for him. And ever since I have been through that scenario, this scripture is telling me exactly what God does for me. We're not going to waste our time here, Steve. I'm going to show you what I want you to ask for. And when you pray for that, Cain, I'm going to give it to you. You know why? Because I already got it for you. So what I'm telling you tonight is some of the things you all are asking for probably haven't been nudged to you by the Holy Ghost. It's been nudged to you by a television commercial that made you think, wow, we would be more productive if we had that. What's the Challenger, Brother Dean, that's got the bigger Hemi in it? RT or something? What is that?
RT.
I'm already been thinking. To serve God in a quicker, faster fashion. To take Sarah's black one, because she can't drive anyway. She's crippled now. And trade it in for an orange one with black stripes, but XRT. Now, I could make that a matter of prayer. I have had no Holy Ghost nudging. But I did watch a TV show the other day, and this guy was driving one. And I told Rochelle to hurry because she's in there cooking. I said, hurry, come in here. It's my car. So part of me, Dixie, would like to have that car. I could even see Steve in that car. I can. Oh, I can. I just saw it for a minute. It was pretty cool. I'm back now. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost had nothing to do with that. And the chances are, for me getting it, are not from God. But, let's make this reality. I could go to Brian's bank, and I could ask to talk to Brian, and I could say, Brian, I'd like to buy this car that's over there, and I don't like the interest rate they're going. This is what I can throw down as collateral. Could I get the car, Brian? If I can prove on paper I can get it, right? That's all I got to do to you, prove that I'm good for it. It must, you know, and then here's how we answer that, Joe. Must have been God. Has anybody ever pulled that? And then blamed God for it? It's a gift from God. And God's up there saying, I had nothing to do with it. You're going to figure that out in about 2 months when you can't make that payment. But right now, have fun. But I just want you to know, don't blame me with this one. Because when God wants you to have something, He's going to provide for it. Because that's what God does. So praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit, is simple. Here you go, you go home. First, you got to have holy hands. I read that scripture today, 1 Timothy 2, I think it's 8 or 2, 9. Which one is it? Somebody tell me. What does he mean by praying by lifting up holy hands? Because some churches think, well, that means this. I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. But what does God mean in that scripture about raising holy hands? You think simply that? I mean, is it like we got to get an antenna up so God can get service? I mean, what are we doing?
Praying with all your sins has been confessed.
Thank you, Doug. Perfect. It's a cleansed heart prayer. Holy hands. Something that's holy is set aside. You and I have all kinds of sin in our life, and we go to God with that dirtiness, and we ask God for help for our issues and our troubles. The first prayer that needs to come out of your mouth is, God, forgive me the stuff that I've done today. Now you can pray on behalf of all that other stuff that the Spirit nudges you with. But the prayer of holy hands is a prayer of being clean. How many of you feel like right now that you could go to God with a clean heart? How many of you need to get some stuff fixed before you go to God? That's exactly what we're talking about. He wants you to have a clean heart. And I apologize for the time, but let me finish, okay? Now, the second thing you do, you need to let the Spirit prompt you to help you pray. Illustration. 2 weeks ago, I had a heart cath. And the nurse that waited on me was like one of the best nurses I've ever had in my life. And I had other nurses in hell, but I had this one nurse that was there from the time they started an IV until I was done. And I just watched her. I mean, she just worked. She just was there. And little by little, she would share her story with Rochelle and I. And it came time for me to leave. And Mom and Dad drove us up. And so Mom and Dad went to get the vehicle. Never had this happen before in my whole life. And I've been through a lot of medical things. She said, "Do you think you can walk?" I said, "Yeah, I'm fine. I can walk out of here." She said, "Okay." So she walked me to the door of the surgery recovery room. Then she walked me to the next door that led to the hallway to get out of the hospital. She's still with me. She walked me to the double doors. Mom and Dad's van had already pulled up. I got to walk from there to the van. Never happened before in my life. She's right there with me. She walks me all the way to the car. And something said to me, "You need to pray for her." Now right now I can't tell you what her name was. I knew it that day, but right now I can't tell you. But I just looked at her and I said, "Can I pray with you and for you?" And I could see her come to her eyes. And she said, "Yes, would you?" And Rochelle and I put our arms around her and we prayed for her. Now Sheila, I don't have a clue what I was praying for. I just was praying for her because the Spirit knows me to do that. But I know that's what God wanted me to do because I've never had a nurse walk me all the way to a car. But she did. Did your nurse walk you to the car?
No. They put me in a wheelchair and pushed me to the car.
The nurse that took care of you or
no,
somebody else?
She didn't know it was my... I had a real nice nurse, but she just got on the end there.
You know what I'm saying? I've had four or five heart casts. I've never had a nurse like that did the IV and did everything else with everything in recovery that walked me to the door. But I'm telling you, in every day of your life, God's doing that to you guys as well. And you've been in line somewhere and God's nudged you to pray. God's nudged you. You all can raise your hand or not, but you know I'm telling you the truth. You've been nudged by God. How many times have you not prayed? You don't have to know why. God knows why. Your job is to pray. So you get that nudge tomorrow. You get that nudge Saturday. Whenever you get that nudge, I'm asking you just to pray. That's praying in the Holy Ghost. That's praying in the Spirit. And that's how God wants you to pray. Let's stand and pray. Brian, come. Let's sing one before we go. Heavenly Father, thank you today. Thank you for the Word. Thank you for guidance through the Word. Thank you for the Spirit that urges us in a lot of ways. Lord, help us learn more how to pray. Lord, I know my relationship with you depends on my communication with you. And God, I want to pray like I never have. I want to be closer to you than I ever have been. And Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity that you give me every day. Thank you for the nurse that you put in my life. Thank you for the doctor yesterday that you stuck in my life. And Lord, I just pray for tonight, for this congregation, that you would strengthen them, strengthen their prayer life, encourage them. In Jesus' name, amen.